respect to what? Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether this is your first time or you've been here your whole life, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn about how we are church together by checking out your bulletin. There are lots of announcements, and if you have any questions about order of worship or anything going on in the life of the church, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There'll also be an elder at the communion table following worship, but I assure you they won't be standing there for very long because there's a potluck. So everyone is welcome. If you forgot a dish to share, if you forgot dishes to eat off, please do not worry. We have plenty of all of the above. We would just love your company and fellowship time together. So after worship, head on down. A few announcements that I have this morning. Next Sunday is World Communion Sunday, so also don't forget it's the peacemaking offering, and Katie will be back with us. She will actually be leading worship next Sunday and preaching, as I will be in Michigan officiating at my sister-in-law's wedding. So I will miss you next weekend, and I'll actually miss you the following weekend, too. But that won't be a vacation Sunday. A team here from GPC will be heading to Batavia to share about our mission experience in Guatemala. And the pastor from First Presbyterian Church in Batavia, the Reverend Rula Alcuri, will be here preaching. So we're doing a little pulpit swap. So you won't want to miss. She is a great, great preacher. And one other announcement that I have this morning. Hospital visits. Folks, I know you sometimes think that with ordination comes ESP abilities, but really it's not true at all. If you are in the hospital, please have a family member contact the church office so that I or Katie can come and visit you or one of the deacons. Unity just recently stopped calling us when we've got folks in the hospital, so really we don't know unless you tell us. Few other announcements this morning. Nancy.
Good morning. Some of you may know that I work at the Episcopal Church home. We are having an intergenerational day on the day that the kids have off, October 12th. What that includes is if any kids can come to any or all of the day, we're making dog biscuits in the morning and an ice cream social in the afternoon. We'll have lunch, but if any of the kids need hours for scouts or school or anything, come see me. Thank you.
Thank you. Linda.
Good morning. I'm Linda Beatty. And many of you have seen this paper. It's what God, what GPC means to me. It's been in the bulletin. You'll see that Alex McKeel, today, her statement is in the bulletin. If you would like to submit one, these papers are out on the table next to the coat rack in the foyer. Please fill them out, and it tells you how to return them. Okay? Thank you.
Take them with you to the potluck.
Hi, Heather Pym on behalf of the Youth Committee. Just a reminder that there's going to be youth group from 6 to 8:30 tonight for both junior and senior highs. It's game night, so we hope to see you there tonight here. Also, you'll see the free wheel-a-thon booths out there, so don't forget to sponsor a youth. to help with your youth mission trips and Jamaica trip. Thank you.
Do you have an announcement, or are you telling me something about my microphone?
Good morning. You'll remember last year there was quite a plight of the homeless people in the city of Rochester when they ended up being forced out of the Civic Center parking garage, and a temporary shelter was found for them, which is no longer available. So there's going to be an informational meeting for the community to come together and try and discuss a solution for this coming winter for the homeless. And I believe it was Wednesday night, October 1st, at Downtown United Presbyterian Church. And I'm looking for people that might represent Gates Presbyterian there. And so if you're interested in this concern, please see me. Thank you.
And as part of our Seasons of Creation worship series, we have had Moments for Mission provided by various members of the congregation. And this morning, Jason Taylor will be sharing a little bit more about their experience at Stony Point. The young adults headed there this past August. So, Jason, all you.
Good morning. Excited that I'm still considered a young adult. So I had a great opportunity to go visit Stony Point down in down towards New York City and southern New York area there. The few days we spent there, we learned many things. I could speak for a long time up here. Everything was just packed into a short period of time. But one, commercial agricultural, their food justice program about people that farm our food and whatnot, and the plight against them, and how cheap they're paid and treated and whatnot. And then also the small-scale farming at Stony Point, the organic farming they do, and the food that they produce there goes towards everything we eat there at night and whatnot. And then our faith, and it's a multi-faith community as well, so we're able to learn more about the Muslim religion and Jewish faith as well. So, and during our time there, we focused on Isaiah 58, and from that chapter, I took that God provides for those that take care of his creations, like with plants, family, friends, and our faith. The more you cultivate it, the more you water it, the more you care for it, the bigger it grows and blossoms. So,
thank you to all the young adults and participants who spent that time in Stony Point. Now let us focus our attention on worshiping God. And again, we will have a slideshow going on this Mountain Sunday.
Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. Come, let us go up to God's mountain. God's mountain is a place of safety and security. On God's mountain, we renew our strength, ready to serve God another day. Come, let us go up to God's mountain. Come, let us worship God.
The goodness of the sounds of God, they indeed fill our ears and our hearts and also make us ever aware of the brokenness that we experience in our everyday lives. And just as we bring the songs of praise, God also receives our brokenness. Let us share together. Too often, amazing God, we give up. We have heard there are goals and dreams just around the corner, and yet we find ourselves wanting to throw in the towel before we achieve the glory you have promised. Forgive us, God. Help us to know that your promises are not mere fluff and flancy, but they are filled with power and hope. When we look for the true joy rather than a quick smile, when we seek things that we can share with others rather than hoard for ourselves, when we open ourselves to what you are doing in our world and in our lives, may we have hope and trust once again. In Christ's name we pray. Hear these words from the Apostle Paul. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus. Not death or life, not angels or rulers, not present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. Thanks be to God. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Up on the screen this morning. Mountains. I love mountains. Have any of you ever climbed a mountain before? Show me who's climbed a mountain before. What happens when you get to the top? It's cold, yes. What do you see when you get to the top? Everything you see, everything. Is it beautiful? Sometimes it can be cold, but it is beautiful. And so in our Bible story this morning that you'll also talk about in Sunday school, the prophet Isaiah tells us about being on top of the mountain, and everything we see is like God's dream for us. Do you guys dream? Do you dream of good things? Yeah, what are the good things you dream about? What do you dream about? Having cake, I dream about that too. What are anyone else, good things you dream about? No? God dreams about everyone being filled with joy and older people who get to live a whole long life and young people who get to live a whole long life, everyone having food, including cake, and having good jobs and everyone being able to work together. Sounds like a pretty great dream, doesn't it? There's one little thing about that great dream. It takes a lot of hard work. If you've climbed a mountain, you know that it can be pretty difficult, can it? Can I tell you something about my climbing a mountain once? I got a little scared. I got a little scared climbing the mountain because it gets pretty high. And one time when I was climbing a mountain, I was climbing with a friend of mine. His name is Graham. He's sitting right next to me. Graham is very, very brave, and he helped me not be scared climbing up and down the mountain. And when God asks us to climb these mountains, God asks us to do it together and to help each other be brave. You haven't climbed a mountain? Well, maybe sometime we can all climb a mountain together. How does that sound? Good. Can we pray together? All right, let's pray together. Dear God, thank you for dreaming of big mountains. Thank you for giving us each other. And you. Amen. You guys can go to Sunday school, and hopefully I'll see you all at the potluck.
First reading of the word comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 39. Sorry, it's in here somewhere. We know that all things work together for good, and for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. God's love in Jesus Christ. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Is it God who justifies? Who is to condemn? It is Jesus Christ who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Jesus Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all those things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the Lord of God in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. Our second scripture reading comes from the prophet Isaiah. For I am about to create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I am creating. For I am about to create Jerusalem as a joy and its people a delight. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and delight in my people. No more shall the sound of weeping be heard in it, or the cry of distress. No more shall there be in it an infant that lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. For one who dies at 100 years will be considered a youth, and one who falls short of 100 will be considered accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. For they shall be offspring, blessed by the Lord, and their descendants as well. Before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and lamb shall feed together, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, but the serpent, its food shall be dust. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Indeed, the word of the Lord for the people of God. In the early 90s, a 26-year-old woman set out on a 1,100-mile hike along the Pacific Crest Trail, an intense journey through the Mojave Desert in Southern California and up and across and then around the High Sierra Mountains until she finally arrived at the Bridge of the Gods on the border of Oregon and Washington. In case you haven't heard about it, this woman, her name is Cheryl Strayed, and she wrote a book called Wild, and then Reese Witherspoon portrayed her in the movie that just came out over this last year. So Cheryl's epic trek through the mountains, I learned by reading the book, was not sparked by a love of hiking. Nor was it the culmination of years of experience and planning. She was compelled to that treacherous journey up and through the mountains by a life that itself had become a monumental uphill battle. She had lost her mother several years earlier to quick and brutal cancer. Her remaining family disintegrated, her marriage fell apart, and she descended into a life of heroin use and destructive relationships and pain. And so finding herself simultaneously at the end of her rope and standing in the middle of a Midwestern hiking store, she picked up a book about the Pacific Crest Trail. And then proceeded to stumble her way through mountainous terrain that was dangerous and painful, profoundly challenging, and ultimately transformative. Describing the experience in her memoir, Cheryl writes, the thing about hiking the Pacific Crest Trail, the thing that was so profound to me that summer, and yet also, like most things, so very simple, was how few choices I had, how often I had to do the thing I least wanted to do, how there was no escape or denial, no numbing it down with a martini or covering it up with a roll in the hay, as I clung to the side of the mountain that day, attempting to patch up a bleeding finger, terrified by every sound that the bull was coming back. I considered my options. There were only two, and they were essentially the same. I could go back in the direction I came from, or I could go forward in the direction I intended to go. Torn as she was from the structures and vestiges of a familiar life she had once taken refuge in and provided these temporary highs for her, Strayed's vision shifted to just putting one foot in front of the other. She wanted the beauty and promise and dream of these mountaintop experiences, and she committed herself to the hard work of getting there. So if you haven't read the book, I recommend it. Of course, movies don't ever do books full justice, but Reese Witherspoon does a fabulous job. I have a confession, though, to tell you that Wilds isn't the first book that I have read about these hiking expeditions. I have on more than one occasion forced poor Amazon employees back into the dusty aisles of large warehouses to retrieve all sorts of the lesser known accounts of trail like journal-esque hiking memoirs. I've actually read so many of these that I've got it into my head that, well, maybe I could take an extended leave from life and spend 6 wonderful months climbing mountains in various parts of the world. And I told this dream, of course, to Matt, and he reminded me, but Melissa, you don't even like the hard mattresses at hotels. How are you going to sleep on the ground? Details. It's just minor little details. So I first started reading these memoirs because I, too, love this mountaintop experience. That exhilarating moment when you emerge from the tree line and you're standing there and your breath is just taken away. I mean, you're seeing a number of those pictures up on the screen. And I remember the first time I had the literal mountaintop experiences. I was from the flatlands of Michigan, and I was in high school on a youth group trip, and we were in the mountains of North Carolina, and I still have this great picture, which you won't see up there because it was taken on this stuff that they used to have called, you know, film. I'm sure you've heard of it before. But anyway, it's my best friend and I standing up there with the Blue Ridge Mountains in the background. Just beautiful. So I have that picture, but the picture I don't have, because it was never taken, right, was the no-holds-bar, youthful energy. There I am starting up the mountain. I'm half sprinting, half scampering, thinking, this is no big deal. It's just a mountain. I'll be up to that top in no time. And then, you know, I think that's a cramp in my side. And then my foot starts slipping on some rocks. And then the branches start whipping my shins. And I slow down a little. A little break over here, a little water. Try to catch my breath. I realize this is really steep. And I'm sweating and panting, and oh yes, I'm still scared of heights. I'm half clinging to the side of the mountain, half in panic, wondering when is this going to be over? How much farther do we have? And the mountain guide is standing there going, seriously, just around the corner. It's really not that far. But I'm not sure at this point if I could make it. I didn't have Graham with me on that mountaintop experience to give me the courage that I needed. But I didn't have anyone to take a picture of that moment either. those are the real moments. That's life. No one puts those up on Facebook. Now, a few decades later, and yes, I keep climbing mountains, and I've read about a half a dozen of these hiking memoirs, it occurred to me that I've stopped reading them for the mountaintop experience. The real reason I read them is because I really connect with the authors who write about stumbling through the dangerous and painful and the profoundly challenging mountainous terrain and how these experiences transform people. And most of these authors do such a great job of holding intention together, the difficulty of the climb and the beauty of the dream when they get to the top. Our text this morning, we haven't read all of Isaiah because, well, it's a very long book to read. But this morning what we have is just the mountaintop experience of the prophet and the people. At the top of the mountain, there is God's dream for all of creation, right? It's idyllic. The wolf and the lamb and the lion and ox, they all peacefully coexist. There's no weeping, no hunger. There's a place to sleep for everyone, even if it is the ground. And these words describe all the hopes and dreams, not only of God, but of the people. God longs to involve all of God's people into God's dream for inclusion and belonging, place, security, and abundance. And this week I was really reminded of that dream, not only reading this passage from Isaiah, but if you haven't had a chance to YouTube or Google or however you want to find it, the speech that Pope Francis made to the United States Congress on Thursday. He too talked about God's hopes and dreams. Dreams for elderly persons to share their stories and insights, for young people to realize great and noble aspirations, for refugees to be seen not as numbers, but as children of God. Dreams for those trapped in cycles of poverty to be given hope, for peace to come through confronting an arms trade. The Pope did not make it easy. He talked about the dreams of use of natural resources to be inclusive and sustainable, and for the common good to be valued above personal and corporate wealth. All of these great dreams were beautiful to hear him talk about, but what really, really inspired me was that he just didn't put these dreams out there as the unobtainable wishful thinking or this impossible mountain that we're all climbing by ourselves and we'll never get to the top. In his own words, he said they are dreams which lead to action, to participation, to commitment. Dreams which awaken what is deepest and truest in the life of a people. Dreams that require our working with one another and with God to do the hard work of getting to the top. So that context of the people that I was talking about in the prophet Isaiah earlier, that context is extremely important that we keep in mind, because this is a group of people for whom are standing at the very bottom of the mountain. The Israelites have spent a generation in exile by the time this later prophet writes. This mountaintop that they had always envisioned in Jerusalem, where God's presence would reside with them in the land and in the people, is gone, obliterated into piles of rubble with probably some dandelions sticking out from the top. And so there they are, looking at the reality of what their life is and hearing the words of the prophet, hearing the dreams of what God intends for the world and the hard work that it's going to take to get there. And we too love these mountaintop experiences of the Bible. We can page through and find just about all of them. But what we skip over in the meantime sometimes are all of the stories about God's people who are committed to stumbling around with God on the dangerous and painful, challenging, mountainous terrain. Talking about how those experiences transformed them. And when I think about God's people today, and what that means for us, how is it that we, as folks gathered together in a community of faith, encounter these mountaintop experiences and these mountain climbing experiences? I'm sure that you have at one time or another encountered a church that, or even an online televangelist who is really happy to hand out or sell to you a brightly colored trail map, probably even laminated, that will show you exactly where you have to go. And there are other churches that suggest that, oh, whoa, whoa, you got to wait until you die to get to the mountaintop. There's no point stumbling around making your life difficult now. You're not going to get there until your life is over. I believe that the invitation to experience the mountain in its entirety is now, is for each and every one of us. And I was reminded of that this summer on another mountain that, yes, I had climbed with the group that went to Guatemala. We spent a week listening to the hopes and dreams of the people there for peace and for food, for clean water, for housing and sustainable income. We heard the stories of their hard work and asking for partners to walk with them along the way. And so when we had the opportunity to literally climb a mountain and to hear the stories of the genocide that took place there, with these very heavy hearts, we prayed for the dreams of the people. And in our own climb, I know I personally struggled with the loss of strength and agility. Some of the older members of our group weren't quite sure they were going to make it to the top. Some of us were terrified of heights. But when I looked around our group, together hearing these stories, together carrying the heavy gear that it took to get to the top of the mountain, listening to the words of encouragement, of peace, of calm, we'll get there. We'll do it together. Watching the youthful energy bound up and then backtrack a little and walk back with us. You could see the hope of God being present with us and the entire journey all along the way. So when I think about what it means to be a church, it's climbing these mountains that has an opportunity to participate with God and one another in the hard work of the beauty and the transformation. It includes this stumbling around sometimes. It's challenging, can be painful, but ultimately, it's transformational to who we are and who God intends for us and this entire world to be. So let's do it together. May it be so. Amen. And in just a moment, we're going to sing a new hymn that will also require your courage and stumbling around a bit. But we have our faithful choir that's going to lead us through it, too, so you can be assured that we will praise God in whatever sounds we might make up that mountain. But first, let's stand and affirm our faith together. Although the light of nature and the works of creation and providence do so far manifest the goodness, wisdom, and power of God as to leave men inexcusable, yet are they not sufficient to give that knowledge of God and of his will which is necessary unto salvation? Join together now in a time of prayer, sharing our joys and concerns. A reminder that if you'd like to share a prayer, just do a little wave and an usher will come and find you. If you would tell us your name and also speak right into the microphone so we all can hear you.
Gordon Chapman. 25 years ago on this Wednesday, I'm Tuesday.
Well, I want to make sure.
I know it too.
Make sure those flowers get ordered on time.
Man, I had a reservation. No. 25 years ago, I married this bride of mine, and God has been good to us.
Amen. Thank you.
Joanne Vander, I'd like to thank everybody for their prayers and concerns, cards and visits. It just got me through such a wonderful summer that it was not as great as I wanted, but with Melissa and Katie coming and other people from church, it really lifted your spirits. Thank you all.
Glad to have you back, Joanne.
I know I'm a Presbyterian, but I want to give thanks for the words that the Pope is bringing to the world. He's saying it like it is, and he's talking to the people that really matter, and that's unusual in today's world, and so I want to give thanks for that.
Amen.
Rich Eisman, prayers for my older brother, who is in Rochester General Hospital, prepping for open-heart surgery on Wednesday, and prayers of joy for my wife, Kathy, that will be retiring at the end of this week. And prayers of patience for me as I adjust to having another person roaming around the house.
Amen. Anyone else?
Marge Westfall, I'd like to ask for prayers again for my granddaughter who will finally be going to the clinic to see if they can finally figure out what has been wrong with her for the last 9 months. Thank you.
Continued prayers for her, Marge.
Cheryl Fennell, just want to celebrate the time that the spiritual journey, people that walked the labyrinth yesterday morning. It was a gorgeous, sunshiny day, and I think we all felt the joy and the present of the moment. And also one reminder that this Tuesday right here, even if you've never done yoga, you are invited to a wonderful yoga session at 7 o'clock Tuesday.
Jennifer Cheel, my dad, Jeff, had a cancer screening on, well, it was like 3 weeks ago, but he met with his doctor last Wednesday, and he is cancer-free, and will hopefully get on the kidney transplant list next March, finally.
Good news. And from our children this morning, we have prayers of joy for a brother's birthday, prayers of joy for Boy Scouts and friends' birthday parties, for neighbors who stop by for a campfire, for trips to Letchworth to see the trains, for a motorcycle picnic today, and also prayers of joy for the wheel-a-thon, prayers of concern for dads who have headaches, and for a mom who took away Legos, not me. Prayers for prayer. We have a lot of prayer concerns for health today. I won't go into all the details. Prayers of joy for new friends in school. Prayers for sprained hip flexors and ankles. For getting into the school show. For vacations and musical instruments galore. Trombones and violins and saxophones. Sounds like we've got quite the band here. Prayers of joy for all of the wonderful milestones of our young people, and they celebrate them with us. Let us continue to pray. Creator God, you have promised to create a new heaven and earth, and you keep us dreaming with you. May we embrace your dream for creation, both the blessings and the challenges. May we find in all aspects of life the beauty of your presence. And may we find ourselves empowered to do the hard work of living into your glory and into the truth of your creation. God, we hold in prayer all of the congregations within our denomination, the Presbyterian Church, and our brothers and sisters in Christ, of many denominations, including the Catholic Church here in America, as they have celebrated and welcomed the Pope Francis. And God, we continue to lift in prayer all of the nations who are experiencing great influx of refugees. And for the refugees, O God, indeed, may they experience experience your kindness, love, hospitality. May we continue, O God, to be called to work for your peace, to work with and for you in this great dream. God, we give you thanks that you gave us Jesus, who taught us so much about what that looks like along the way, and in whose name we now pray, saying together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us continue our time of worship this morning with the offering.
Come to your mountain, loving God, bringing our gifts. We offer ourselves as servants of all your creation, voices to challenge injustice and destruction, hands to hold one another up, feet to walk and stand with any who feel that they have no hope. Use us and our gifts to do your will. Amen.
For this closing hymn, you're good. John's going to play it through one time, and we're going to sing it twice, because I've heard that there's some movement and dancing going on, so we'll sing through it twice.
Thank you.
the joy of God in our hearts, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit to keep stumbling around again and again. Alleluia. Amen.